You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So we have Amanda Flynn, who is a vocal technician on Broadway and has worked with the cast of several shows, such as Be More Chill and The Lightning Thief. She's also a vocal coach and works with people like Talia Suscare on the Wicked Tour. Hi, Amanda.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
No problem. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing pretty good.
Good.
So could you start off by talking about how you got to where you are in the industry?
Sure. So I am originally from Texas, a small town in East Texas, and I moved to New York to be a performer. So I did that for a while, performed in musical theater, I ran into some sort of issues with my voice when I was doing Wicked, and I just had some problems with my voice, and it was a little challenging to figure out. It just took me a little while to kind of figure out what was going on. It was because of some medication I was taking that was causing these sort of side effects, but it was a real moment for me that was really pretty life changing, in that I, it was such a simple solution to my problem, but it was a really challenging journey to sort of figure out what was going on. And so in that journey of figuring it out, I really started to fall in love with the voice and became really interested in the voice, both the art and the science of singing. And it became a real moment of a career change for me. I went to graduate school and studied the voice there, and after grad school did a bunch of other certificate programs and all sorts of training so that I could learn everything I could about the voice. So I started teaching voice, and I have a real focus on working with singers that have gone through vocal injuries. And so that's a big chunk of what I do, is work with singers that have had injuries or have run into issues in their career, such as I did. And so that was kind of my journey. And then in my teaching career has been really fun and exciting, and I've gotten to do a lot of different things, and worked on the two Broadway shows in 2019, Be More Chill and The Lightning Thief, and get to work with a lot of amazing singers that I love so much that they entrust me with their voice. It is it's really awesome.
So what do you do as a vocal technician?
I do a lot of different things. Work with, my main gig is really helping singers improve their technique. That's the big focus. Singers come to me when they're really wanting to improve their singing technique and then just improve their singing in general. Sometimes people come to me after they've had an injury. Maybe they've been referred to me from a doctor's office. That's my main job, is to help people sing better and to sing more efficiently. In musical theater, one of the hard things about singing is realize that we have to do it 8 times a week, sometimes twice a day, which means that we have to really sing in a really, a real specific manner that allows people to be able to sing 8 times a week, you know what I mean? And that is its own thing. And that is a big chunk of what I do, is help people learn how to navigate those 8 shows a week, because it's hard. It's really hard. So that's a big thing of what I do. I'm somebody that, I think people come to me when they really feel like they need help with, just improving their either just ability to sing, or if they need help learning how to sustain their singing and make it something they can do over and over again.
So what's the difference between a vocal technician and a vocal coach, and what are the benefits of each?
There's a bunch of different labels for voice teachers and voice coaches and things, and the what is the right label kind of depends on who you ask and what sort of pocket of the singing world you're in. So for instance, typically like in the opera world, your voice teacher is your technique person. They are the person training you how to sing. Your coach is someone who is helping you prepare for like recitals and performance, right? They are teaching, they're working on your musicality. They're working on your expressivity, right? Your acting. So in the musical theater world, a lot of that holds over. It doesn't hold over completely, but a little bit. People tend to have a voice teacher and a coach, like a repertoire coach, right? And your voice teacher, again, is the person who's helping you, improve your singing. And the coach is the person who is helping you prepare for auditions, right? So they're helping you run things before you go on audition. They might help you cut music. They might help teach you music if you need it. So that's typically the difference. But, once you start getting into like the recording artist world, vocal coach can mean the same thing. That can be, that's just sort of the name for your voice teacher, right? And, when I worked on Broadway shows, I was called the vocal coach for the show, right? And what I was doing was vocal technique work. Oftentimes, if you work in television and film, as like a voice teacher on set, you will be a vocal coach, right? So the words can get a little muddy as far as what they mean. But typically, if you are an actor in the musical theater business, right, and you are auditioning, you will typically have two people on your sort of voice team. And one is your teacher, who's the person who's really teaching you how to sing and keeping your voice in shape. And then a repertoire coach, who's your person that you're going to when you need to run stuff before an audition, or you're handed a piece of music that's challenging and you need someone to teach it to you.
What is something you wish more people would know about their voice?
That's a good question. I would say there's quite a few things. I think that I would say sort of two. One is that the voice is constantly growing and changing and shifting. And I think that that's an important thing, because oftentimes, I work with people who will, feel like their voice, all of a sudden things are changing in their voice as they're getting older. All of a sudden they're like, oh, I feel more tired than I used to, or, oh, I have to warm up now and I didn't used to, or wow, these things feel a little different. And that's perfectly normal, which is why having a voice teacher that you work with throughout your career can be really helpful, because it allows those extra set of eyes and ears to be on the lookout for things that are changing. That is something I wish people knew, particularly performers, because oftentimes I'll get people who will, be in their late 20s, early 30s, and all of a sudden they are, they're panicked because they think they've injured themselves because they're experiencing something that's perfectly normal. And so having a voice teacher can be really helpful, because they can be on the lookout for that, and they're there to sort of help work through those little hiccups. The other thing that I would say that I wish, because I said there were sort of two things, is that the voice can be injured, that injuries happen, and injuries happen all the time to singers, just in the same way that dancers or athletes get injured. And so much of the time, singers don't even realize that they can have an injury to their voice until they've had one, right? And so, you know, those are kind of two big things that I love to sort of impart to people, that, you know, your voice changes as you get older, and that doesn't mean something's wrong, and that we can injure the voice. And that also doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. Injuries sometimes just happen, right? Athletes just get injured when they play the game. And singers sometimes just get injured because they have to do 8 shows a week.
So what's the hardest part of your job?
Ooh, that's tricky. You know, I think that one of the hard things about working with the voice is we can't see it. At least in a lesson, we can really only see it at the doctor's office. And then, you know, we're kind of under very specific conditions to see it. And so that, I think, is probably one of the hardest things. But it's also one of the most exciting things, I think, about it, is where we get the balance of art and science, in that we know what, how the voice functions, we know things about it, but there is an art to singing, and there is an art to using the voice. And part of that comes from not being able to see the instrument, right? We have to rely a little bit on intuition and on instinct. I have to rely on my ears a lot to hear what my ears are hearing. I have to rely on my eyes to see what's going on with the person. And so I would say that's probably one of the hardest things is we have to really be able to hear a sound and see the singer make a sound and know what's going on and be able to come up with a solution to make it better. And that is challenging because it's not always straightforward. And every human being that I work with, you know, learns differently, has a different brain, you know, perceives things differently. And so that becomes a little bit of a challenge with the job, but I love it. I find that to be the fun part.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
What's the best advice you've gotten so far?
You know, I don't know. Let's see. The best advice that I've gotten. I don't know that I have gotten great advice. Well, no, that's not true. My dad, there's a piece of advice that my dad gave me when I was younger, when I was first moving to New York. And the advice that he gave me was, it is better to be thought a fool than to speak up and remove all doubt. And so the idea that, like, it's better for people to think you're stupid than for people to know you're stupid because you opened up your mouth and said something stupid. So, you know, this advice was actually really, really applicable early in both my teaching career and in my performing career, is I spent a lot of time observing people around me that knew a lot more than me. And so I spent a lot of time being the fly on the wall, watching the people that were way better than me and watching the people that knew a lot more than me, that were way more experienced than me, you know, watching all of that happen, you know, because I learned so much by just being a fly on the wall. And so that, I think, is advice that has served me really, really well in both of my careers, performing career and then my sort of second career as a teacher, because it's allowed me to really learn a lot by watching other people and by keeping my mouth shut and just, you know, listening and watching and taking in what people are doing, listening to the questions people were asking, watching how people were operating. That really, really, I learned so much just on the job by being observant.
So do you think you've benefited more from education or experience?
I would have to say both. I don't think that there's a winner there. You know, I think that my experiences as a performer are so invaluable to me as a, you know, as a teacher. The fact that I've done Broadway shows, the fact that I've had some issues with my voice, the fact that I have done the audition grind for a decade, those are things that I think were absolutely invaluable to me as a teacher, because I understand the industry in ways that some people don't, because they haven't gone through that. But at the same time, my education has truly, truly been something that I think has been a game changer in how I teach and in how I learn. And so I would have to say that they're both equally valuable to me. I never stop learning. I'm a big lifelong learner. So I'm just constantly trying to read everything I can. I do research. I'm very skeptical. You know, anytime I read or hear something, I'm like, I wonder if that's true. And then I go and dig deeper so I can learn more. That's just part of my personality, and how I sort of take the world in is through trying to learn as much as I can about it, and learn as much as I can about the voice. So yeah, you know, I would say they're both really, really valuable. You know, I think education is the thing that really serves me well as I go through life, because education never stops. You know, I can continue to learn as I move through life. And then obviously my experiences, like working on the shows, also so incredibly valuable to my teaching, both at the university where I teach and in my private teaching. Working on the shows was just an incredible experience, because I learned so, so, so much about working with people in the trenches while we're doing 8 shows a week, and really, really working through all of that. So I think that's a great question, experience or education. And I would say both. Thumbs up to both. Education, you know, sometimes without experience, education might not be as valuable. You know, we have to learn stuff, and then we have to go and we have to apply that stuff and learn from the application. And so that's where I think those things, they go hand in hand.
So what have you been doing during quarantine?
Oh my gosh, teaching a ton. you know, we you know, sort of shut down right about spring break in the spring semester in March. And so, yeah, so everything shifted right online. I teach at a university in a musical theater program. So we shifted online, finished out the semester, and I've just been teaching all summer. And we just started our semester back a couple weeks ago. So we're back in school. but I'm teaching. You know, my life hasn't really changed that much. I feel very fortunate that I am able to teach as much as I am. You know, I think a lot of performers, you know, some are taking breaks from the industry right now because, you know, they can. A lot of people are really hunkering down and like work and taking voice lessons and acting class and doing all sorts of things that they don't, you know, sometimes when you're in the business, you don't have time to just sit and focus on your training because you're performing or you're auditioning a lot. So a lot of performers have been taking the time right now to really train. And so I've been relatively busy, which is makes me feel very, very fortunate. I is not lost on me how fortunate I am to still be working and to be able to work from home. I've taught online for about 7 or 8 years, never full time, but I've been doing online lessons for a long time. So yeah, so that's what I've been doing.
Is there anything you want to add before we end this?
I don't know. What should I add? I appreciate you having me. It's always nice to talk about my job. You know, I think that sometimes as a voice coach for a show or the vocal consultant for a show, you know, we exist sort of in the shadows of the theater. We're lurking in the back. So we don't get to answer questions a lot. So I appreciate you having me here. You know, I think that for anybody that wants to have a life in the arts, whether they want to be a performer or a writer or a director or a voice teacher, anything. I think that gaining as many experiences as you can as you are working through your education and growing up, I think is really, really valuable. Say yes more than you say no to opportunities until you get to a point where you can start to say no. in the beginning, sometimes you have to say, yes, I'll do that thing. Yes, I'll jump in and help here. Yes, I'll come and help you with that show. Because you just learn something every time you jump in and you work on a production or you work in the arts in some aspect, even if it doesn't feel directly related to what you want to do. So I would say yes more than you say no. And, soak up every opportunity you can.
Well, it was such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Mason. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.